With Multiview from Xfinity, you can watch up to 4 football games at once, which can lead to some tough choices.
French toast nibblers or breakfast nachos?
Actually, I was thinking about heading out only because I want to beat the traffic.
The best part of the sleepover is the next day. I was going to throw the games on.
Bobby Big Wheels.
I mean, how can you call yourself a sports fan without Xfinity? We got the Multiview.
The best college and pro games all in one place. I'm not going anywhere.
This is how football was meant to be watched. Xfinity. Imagine that. Restrictions apply. Multiview requires Xfinity 4K capable TV box.
That would be the upset of all upsets.
That'll never happen.
That would week one would be nuts if that happens.
It's not going to happen.
You're an insane person. What is up, everybody? Thanks for hopping on here in Crane & Company, making us a daily watcher listen. And we got college football back, boys! 17 games of in your face, 5 straight days. We're super excited. We predicted every game. We projected every game. Check out all those videos. Now we're going to dive even deeper, right? Sometimes you got to put on the scuba gear.
Deep dive?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go put on the scuba gear and see if that ship's down there or not.
What was Adam Sandler's scuba guy?
Scuba Steve!
Scuba Steve!
You got to turn into Scuba Steve.
Sometimes you got to go Scuba Steve. And we got another great show for you today. We're going to go through some of the upsets, hypotheticals of if there are going to be upsets, who's going to make them, but make sure you hit that subscribe button. And our guest today, none other. You've seen him, you love him, or you hate him.
That hair.
Which is great. Both of those work. From On Three, our buddy,
give it to
JD Pakil.
JD, let's welcome, go.
What's up, buddy?
Welcome.
Let's get into it. Shoot the bow, son.
Let's do it, baby. Let's go deep dive in the Titan together, boys.
Gosh. Look, and I'll go into the Mists of Babylon.
Change my shorts.
All right. So here's where we want to start. Again, we've talked about these games. We've made our picks. I know you've made your picks. But I want to start out, all right, if there's going to be upsets, how are they going to happen in some of these big games? And I want to start off with Florida State, Bama. And I'll be honest with you, JDP, you know me, right? I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. I'm not seeing a world in which Florida State beats Alabama. I'm not saying it's impossible, right? I'm not saying it's possible. Go ahead, read your numbers.
Quickly, the spread is Alabama minus 13.5, and the over-under is 50.5. Money line for Florida State. Going off at plus 450.
All right. So there's a lot of value in there. Now, we know Bama's down 3 starters. Tim Keenan's got to get that Willinda surgery, that tightrope surgery, whatever you want to call it. But when you look at this matchup, JD, if I were to tell you right now that I traveled into the future and that Florida State beat Alabama, how would they beat them?
It would be a don't let the kids watch this one. Dirty, gross, yucky. I don't know if y'all are big on checking the weather before these kind of games, but I look at a lot of the circumstances here. Running quarterback, that was a common thread for all the quarterbacks that beat Bama last year, especially a one Diego Pavia. New DC and OC for Florida State. Aggressive Tony White against a quarterback in his first start on the road in Ty Simpson. Could be a short in the game kind of situation for Florida State. So I don't think that Florida State wins this game. I like Florida State to cover this one. It's going to be one of my bets of the week just because of all those things with the newness of Alabama. And then also, I think Florida State with just the way last year went. Dude, if you have any pride about yourself, if you have any draw line in the sand to what your locker room is, you defend home turf in a yucky, gross weather kind of game in that spot against that team and back up your quarterback. So I think that would be how it would look if Florida State beat Bama. But I think they covered this number. I really do.
Well, it's funny because weather is obviously super important. When you coach special teams, as long as I did, the first thing you check is the weather, not just because of rain, but because of wind, right? And elevation and where you're playing at. And I've heard and I've seen that it's supposed to be nasty. It's supposed to rain down in Tallahassee on Saturday. And I see a lot of people saying, oh, well, that could be an advantage for Florida State. I actually see it the other way. If I'm Florida State, I need a clean track for Castellanos to be able to make some of those improvised plays, those wow plays, to be able to maybe get some balance or keep Alabama, unbalanced defensively. I think the more it rains, the more it turns into a line of scrimmage game. And JD, I'm not saying you're picking Bama, but picking Florida State. But I do wonder and think if maybe the rain helps out Alabama because it kind of shrinks the amount that you can do and truly turns it into a line of scrimmage game, which even without Tim Keenan, that was the biggest flaw in FSU last year to me, not just DJU, JD. So you think maybe the weather could just make it yucky and keep it close and give Florida State a chance at the end? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's that paired with Ty Simpson first start where there's all this pressure on him because, I mean, let's face it, like his career has built to this moment. You passed on the portal multiple times to get to this spot, to be on the road against that team. I also think that the point you made about Alabama and the line of scrimmage is a really interesting one because if it becomes a grudge match, I mean, Bama's big human beings, we all know, better than Florida State's human, big human beings. That's kind of just how this whole thing shakes. I'm really curious to see if Gus Malzahn doesn't get labbed a little bit. Yeah. With that cauldron and start, you know, mixing up the potions. I'd love to just see Gus Malzahn and Thomas Castellanos just read the heck out of this D-line. Like, we're not going to block you. We're going to displace you. We're going to just win with angles and get the, you know, the trigonometry, the geometry, the quadratic formula, all those things to just try and win a smart football game in the run game against Alabama. So that would kind of be the path for me. And also, too, I think Florida State's going to be spunky early. Like, I think it's going to be check the phone at halftime kind of situation. You're like, whoa, Florida State's down three? Oh, what, Florida State's up at half? Like, what's going on? And then we see Bama be Bama in the second half.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And right now, the exact weather for my bettors out there, the exact weather for this game Saturday is going to be a high of 80, wind of 10 miles per hour, and precipitation sitting at 70%.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's Florida. It's going to rain, then it's going to be hot as hell, and then it's going to rain again. It's probably the way.
Tallahassee's basically South Georgia.
But, I mean, the ball handling cone in the rain, becomes a
to me, Thomas Castellanos is going to have to make plays no matter what the weather is, make plays and not turn the football over. So, to me, with Florida State on offense, it's not good enough for him to make a bunch of wild plays, but then also throw two interceptions. Yeah. It's also not good enough for him to throw zero interceptions and have zero fumbles, but you didn't make any big plays.
For
he has to do both.
He's going to throw a perfect game. Let's be honest. He's going to have to throw a perfect game.
Pretty close, or at least the big play to turnover ratio has to be sizable. So if he does throw a pick, well, did you throw five touchdowns and you freaked out?
Yeah. Where was the pick? Was it a pick
exactly.
six? Was it?
But it's actually more interesting to me with Florida State on defense because I don't see a scenario where they completely shut down Alabama, but can you at least limit their yardage in between the 20s and make Ty Simpson be the guy in the red zone so then maybe he presses in crucial situations, which is what JD's talking about.
Yeah. And right now, it kind of agrees with what you were saying, JD, that Florida State's going to come out and be spunky. Right now, the first quarter spread is +3.5. Florida State sitting at -130.
Woo!
Okay.
Interesting. A field goal's a win, I think, in this game. Field goal's a win, I think, in this game.
You want to go to LSU Clemson?
Go ahead.
Because here's why I felt comfortable. I felt comfortable for a long time with my Clemson pick for all the reasons that we've talked about in our previews and our predictions and for the last 2 months. But I'm starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable because it seems like most of the college football world is taking Clemson other than LSU fans and Blaine. Blaine's riding with LSU.
Go Tigers.
And I just keep looking down, and it's 4.5. And we saw it at one point. It was 3.5. But regardless, the line has been over a field goal in favor of Clemson. And you give me 4.5 points. I'll take LSU against almost anyone in the country, but they're not going down there to cover the spread. JD, LSU goes on the road and beats Clemson. They will have done so because they did what?
Because Garrett Nussmeier and Joe Sloan had the answers. Okay. Because we know Tom Allen kind of got some psychopath to him, which I think if you're a Clemson fan, you're like, thank goodness we got another guy that's a psychopath on the defensive side for us calling this show from one Brett Venables a couple years ago. But I think Garrett Nussmeier and Joe Sloan, the OC out there, the continuity between the two of them, having a full year under their belt, Garrett Nussmeier know what Joe Sloan likes and vice versa. We know that Clemson has a better defensive line. We know Clemson probably got two top 10 picks on that D-line. They're going to apply pressure. I need a lot of pre-snap. I know I'm going to Berrien Brown. Pre-snap, I know I'm going to Bauer Sharp. Pre-snap, I'm not even having to second-guess myself too much because Peter Woods is coming to my living room here in the next two Mississippi. So I think them having answers is one part of this. The other part of this, O-line for LSU, got to be serviceable. Like if we get dog-walked up front and it's a rush gets home with four situation for LSU, like it's going to be an ugly, ugly game in itself. It's going to be a tough post-game press for Brian Kelly, dude. Like, if he's slamming the table against USC, he's like, I told y'all before, he's like full flying elbow through the table, whole deal.
Dressed like Nacho Libre.
And take it home with four and get beat that way.
Yeah, well, and to me, again, Blaine brought this up, and it's a great point. We talk about the personnel that Clemson has on defense, and they had those guys last year, but they struggled against the run. That's where you think Tom Allen, with a little bit of that psychopath, why are we drinking espresso at 9:30 at night, comes into play. I think you're going to see that turn its head. But LSU, the biggest narrative in this game to me is, can LSU run the ball against Clemson? Because even if you have that escape plan, that, hey, let's try and supplement the lack of a run game with a quick pass game, Clemson's going to start coming down and coming down and coming down. If they're able to pressure you, that's not going to work. In the intermediate, your digs, things like that. And then in the deep third. And Nuss just can't operate in a world consistently where you don't have a run game. He can't create enough with his legs to be able to do that. But again, if I'm an LSU fan, though, I'm happy we're going to know about where we stand after week one. Because you could beat Bethune-Cookman to death and not know. It's like the Tinder date, right? Like you matched on there, the pictures look good, but now we're gonna meet at the park. And to Blaine's point, are you gonna be the girl that looked that way on Tinder? Are you some guy named Craig that's been catfishing me the whole time? That's what I'm interested to see with this Clemson defense versus this LSU offense and the lack of the run game that we've seen from LSU in the past. And I think you can make the argument this is the hardest opener for LSU they've had. I mean, go back to I would rather play USC where they played them, obviously, than play Clemson in Death Valley. It's
amazing to me when we do talk LSU, we don't mention their defense, right? Their defense is going to matter. That's what let LSU down last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they couldn't run the ball.
They still scored a good amount of points with not even being able to run the ball. Their defense was atrocious. And from what we're seeing from LSU in past times, we're not used to that. In the offense, we can talk about Clemson's defense. That's fantastic. Cade Klubnik right now.
No, they're saucy.
The nastiest quarterback in college football. Not only do you have to get to Cade Klubnik, but you have to get him on the ground. I think LSU's front four has to be a difference in this football game.
This episode is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is here, so don't miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. We've used Prize Picks forever. We love it. The payouts, they're quick, they're organized, and you don't have to worry. And it's just a whole heck of a lot of fun. I mean, you look Saquon, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. We're going to set our lineups and put them out on social for y'all to see. And they make daily fantasy so simple. Prize Picks is the best. You just select more or less on a 2-6 player projection to build your lineup. And when your picks hit, you have the opportunity to win up to 2,000 times your money. It's available in over 40 states. And Prize Picks puts members first with fast, secure withdrawals through Venmo, Apple Pay, and MasterCard. Their innovative flex play lets you cash out and double your money if one pick doesn't hit perfectly. So turn your sports knowledge into real money in under 60 seconds on Prize Picks, trusted skill-based fantasy platform that millions of users already rely on. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code BOOSTER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code BOOSTER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. What do you think, JD, about the LSU defense this year? I think they're going to be better, but how much better is better, if that makes sense?
I think better is good enough to win a national championship. And a big part of that is because I think the offense is going to be like gangbusters, dude. I think that receiving core is incredible. I think Nussmeier is incredible. So with that being what you have on the other side of the football, if my defense can just be not good enough, because that's a weird way to say it, but if they can be like a top 30 unit, if Harold Perkins get back to that freshman form, if Whit Weeks can stay healthy and the transfers they brought in can gel, like, we're going to have a real good time in Baton Rouge this year. I think the thing that excites me the most, what they went and got from the portal, we talked about Barry and Brown and what he has on the outside. We talked about a lot of the big-name guys, but, like, the depth pieces they got, the pieces that aren't maybe quite as flashy, a Bernard Gooden, who's going to be a guy for them in the interior of that D-line from a USF, Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jack Pyburn, like, what they have in that second rotation on the D-line to now go with some of that just Louisiana talent they have in general, that excites me with the staying power they're going to have when it gets to the third, fourth quarter against a team like Clemson.
Depth matters. Depth wins.
We trying to go to Miami, Notre Dame, or Tennessee, Syracuse?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's a la carte. You walk in there, if you want the fried chicken, you get the fried chicken. If you want the meatloaf, you get the meatloaf. It's a Golden Corral.
Let's go Tennessee, Syracuse. Okay. All right, and right now, JD, this game is sitting at minus 13.5 for Tennessee with the over-under sitting at 51.5. Syracuse coming off the money line at plus 420. I mean, you don't hear anything in Nico anymore, which I think is good for Tennessee fans. You're bringing in a new quarterback if you're Tennessee. And the same thing, you look at Syracuse, not only did you lose your quarterback, you lost your two best receivers, and you lost your 1,000-yard rusher.
And 4 of your 5 offensive linemen.
Exactly. So right now, how does Syracuse, we come back and look Monday, how does Syracuse win this game?
Syracuse has got to find a matchup on offense, right? I mean, Jonte Cook is a guy who's a 5-star receiver, started his career at Texas, didn't work out there, now he's at Syracuse. The buzz out of fall camp is the dude's balling. And so in a spot like this where every matchup is going to favor Tennessee, You just got to find that one matchup, baby. Just find that one go-to move, that one play you like in the game, and you just spam that, in my opinion, and get Jontae Cook active. And maybe that's how Syracuse wins. Maybe it's like, hey, we had Jontae Cook, the five-star guy. Y'all are having trouble at receiver. You got a new quarterback. We do, too. But maybe that's kind of the way that this whole thing works. I also think, too, they got to start fast, dude. Like, they got to find a way to get Joey Aguilar back into his double-digit interception bag. He was at App State. If they can get some momentum early, generate some life, I mean, y'all know this as well as anybody. Teams taking on the persona of your leadership. When your leadership's Fran Brown, I think you always got a chance. So that number scares me a little bit, but I think that Syracuse, give him some life early on. Jontae Cook a couple touches. Like, that could be how Syracuse finds a way in this game. Not taking it, but that's the way that it'll happen.
Yeah. JD, again, you have sources like we have sources, and I've heard conflicting things from people talking about how different this Tennessee offense is going to look this year compared to the past. Now, I don't think it's going to go as far as to become like a truly pro-style system or anything like that. But are you hearing any changes? Like, are they going to change the splits? Is it going to be... Obviously, last year they didn't go as fast because of the way the team was structured and the way they had to win. Have you heard anything coming out of fall camp to this Tennessee offense? You know, maybe a little bit of a Harvey Dent situation?
I haven't, but I could see it just because you did miss spring practice with the Joey Aguilar. I will say this. Josh Heupel's one of those guys that just makes it work. You know, like, we all know this. You watch those like reality cooking shows on Netflix or whatever streaming service, and it's like, okay, give me a phenomenal 3-course meal. You got Pop-Tarts and beef liver. Go.
Yeah.
And it's like, Josh Heupel just like makes it work, dude. Like, he's got a portal quarterback who got no spring ball. He's got a couple freshman receivers. He's got a running back he's going to depend on who was a walk-on at one point in his career. And it's like, I don't know, dude. Like, Heupel just kind of makes it work. So that's where my money falls.
Yeah. I always say that Josh Heupel knows how to cook it. I mean, Aguilar just got to bring it to the table.
Well, the thing is, Aguilar, to me, especially in a game like this against Syracuse, dude, you don't have to go out there and prove to the world that you're better than Nico. You got to go out there and just run the system and let gravity take effect. That's where, if you came to me, Cone, and said Syracuse beat Tennessee, I would say Tennessee, and again, this is not, I love Fran Brown and what he did at Syracuse, I would say Tennessee lost this game more than Syracuse won it with Joey Aguilar turning the ball over, or going in there and saying, you know what? Yeah, I may not be as hyped up as Nico, but I'm about to go show you and UCLA and App State and all these guys what they're missing. Then all of a sudden you look up and, you know, it's like Bobby Boucher is running 50 yards with his bare ass for a touchdown because you threw it across your body.
That would count as a win nonetheless.
Very true. All right, I want to move on to Notre Dame, Miami. Now, to me, 2.5-point spread, can you really call this an upset either way? But it does feel to me, JD, and maybe not by a mile, but more people are leaning Notre Dame than Miami, because I think the questions in the secondary in Miami's defense and kind of the makeup of this skill group around Carson Beck. Do you feel like Notre Dame needs to be the favorite going into this game, or do you think Miami should be?
I lean Notre Dame just for the sheer fact of what you mentioned. I think we know more about Notre Dame outside of the quarterback. I think that Miami, though, in this spot, like, this is more of a must win for them for me than it is for Notre Dame. Because I think we all saw how the playoff went last year. You go 10-2 and Cam Ward puts on a show, and then you are on the outside looking in on Selection Sunday. Like, a win like this for Miami to have in the back pocket if they don't win the ACC, I think that would be absolutely huge. So I think it's more of a must win for them. But I do think right now, right team's favored, spread's probably about right. Another weather game, though, boys. I mean, for a team in Miami who likes to throw it around a little bit, and Shannon Dawson likes to push the ball downfield, the equation there is a little bit funky to me. The quarterback who missed spring ball, all the new weapons, waterlogged ball. Like, I'm just saying, could be very very Irish vibes, like we saw in K-State, Iowa State.
And that track down there can get messed up in the rain. I mean, you can see chunks coming out of that thing. And, you know, Miami didn't bring in Carson Beck to run the ball, Coney. Mm. Not at all. I can't wait for that one on Sunday. We're going to live stream it. I'm jacked about it.
Yeah, and go check out our full preview that we have of that game as well. If you guys don't mind, I'd kind of like to talk about TCU and North Carolina. This is a game that we haven't talked about that much. This is Monday night. And this is Bill Belichick's introduction to college football here.
Jordan's introduction.
Hosting TCU line -3.5 right now with the Horned Frogs favored against the 8-time Super Bowl champion. JD, if I said North Carolina and Bill Belichick upset TCU, what would the keys to victory in that game look like?
And Gio Lopez went nuts.
Yeah.
Be my first thought. And then also TCU, in tandem with that, just like had several breakdowns on defense. And this is not me saying I know what UNC is going to be, because they brought in what, like 40 new players? So kind of a question mark of sorts there. It feels to me a lot like when Deion Sanders got to Colorado and they did their whole portal thing. Now, Bill Belichick's got a better jumping off point than Deion had with that roster. But I just, I really, really worry about Bill Belichick getting college players ready to play college football games, if that makes sense. Because you can put a lot on Tom Brady's plate. You can get all your, you know, guys who have 24 hours during the day dedicated to football. But like when I got study hall, I got class, I got whatever else I'm doing in my life as an 18 to 22 year old, I worry a lot about being able to have a digestible game plan that translates to the field for college players. So I'm not totally answering your question there, Cone. Gio Lopez would have to have a day. I think the transfers would have to do what they do and translate to make that roster, you know, what they brought those guys in to be. I like TCU a lot in this game, though, in that way.
Ho, boys! Tailgating time is back. Yes. Saturday at the house, grilling is back. You need the best meat in the game. Yeah. You want your team to be ranked number one? You've got to eat good for them to play good. And with Good Ranchers, you can do that. Our barbecues and game day sliders, they're always made with quality meat. That's because Good Ranchers sources 100% American meat, with all cuts coming directly from local farms and ranches. Choosing Good Ranchers means you support both our community and American ranchers while enjoying premium cuts that bring families and friends together around the table. Plus, with Good Ranchers doorstep delivery, you can worry about anything else rather than spending time at the grocery store searching for something to serve. Blase, blase, blase. I mean, we're going to be throwing steaks on the grill this weekend. We've had burgers. We've had everything.
Every night.
Chicken wings are fantastic. And here's the deal. If you subscribe to any Good Ranchers box today, you get your pick of free meat for life. That means you're always going undefeated. Talking free Wagyu burgers, hot dogs, bacon, or chicken wings in every single box. And when you use our code BOOSTER at GoodRanchers.com, you'll save an extra $40. So go ahead and hit up GoodRanchers.com right now. Use code BOOSTER. Get that $40 off plus free meat for life. GoodRanchers.com with code BOOSTER. Welcome to the table, baby. It's kickoff.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at Sierra.com.
Josh Hoover, I don't think enough people are talking about, maybe including us.
I really like the over in that game. If it gets down to 55 and a half, like I see that game, both teams scoring.
Well, Gio can play like from South. Like that was, they needed that pickup. There's a reason he won that job.
All right, JD, let's talk about the game you went Jon Snow on. All right, when I saw on X, and it's Colorado, Georgia Tech. I mean, right now, Georgia Tech is -4.5. They're the favorite that's going off of -112 with a over under sitting at 52 and a half. Colorado money line is +158.
At
JD.
Home.
You have Colorado winning this game. Tell me how Colorado does.
It's in Boulder, right?
Yeah.
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 Dog, don't we always have a week one just kind of gotcha game? You know what I mean? And Colorado's been a part of a couple of those. Like when Deion got there against TCU, that one in Fort Worth was the week one gotcha for me. I've been too wrong on Colorado too many times, dude. I have. And I've come in this studio and we have Crow that's, you know, metaphorical in a sense, but it still counts. We eat that on the show and we're wrong about stuff pretty blatantly. And like Colorado, maybe more than any other team, has made me eat crow. I'm like, dude, I'm not falling for it. Like, Caden Salter, mobility factor there, the fact that it's home Friday night, everyone's talking about what Colorado lost, and Deion Sanders probably making this team play a bit inspired with, you know, all of his health victories in that way. Like, it feels so Georgia Tech to me to where I think it's Colorado. Does that make sense? This is kind of, we're sort of reading the vibes a little bit here, boys. I'm going mobile quarterback at home, overlooked team. Also some good players at Colorado too, like the weapons in Joe Williams, who's a freshman of the year ago in the American Athletic Conference, over from Tulsa, plays wide receiver, stud. I mean, clips from him from the Colorado social team all throughout spring ball and fall camp, making plays left and right. Omarion Miller tore up USC a couple of years ago, went for almost like 200 yards.
He gets as hot as anybody,
And I mean, to be fair, y'all, that year, a lot of people tore up USC. So, like, Omarion Miller joined the club. But I think there's better players than people realize there. And, again, reading the vibes feels very Colorado because it feels so Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and
I will say Caden Salter did get named the starter for Colorado. And a little stat that I saw get put up on X is Haynes King was terrible versus man last year. One of the worst quarterbacks in the country. And Colorado was the number four team in the country when it comes to running man coverage.
Well, and it's, again, all and I love getting in there and getting the stats and the numbers. It's just the line of scrimmage to me. That's what's going to define Colorado. I know Prime can get the guys on the outside that can run fast and jump and catch it. It's the Jordan Setons. How much have they improved? How much is Colorado? You know, that was the biggest surprise to me last year was Colorado's front seven on defense. I thought held up a whole hell of a lot better. I think they led the conference in sacks. Now, they had to pressure a bunch, right? Colorado's pressure rate is up there. But if they beat Georgia Tech with a team that is coached by Brent Key, that is basically a walking incarnate of what you want on the line of scrimmage, that would show me that Prime legitimately has staying power in being relevant in college football and can actually turn Colorado into somebody that can win the conference. I'm going to go Georgia Tech, but I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, 4.5 points, it's the same thing between LSU and Clemson, so it's not
that
crazy.
They're about to get the heaviest dose of quarterback counter that they're going to see.
But that's what I'm saying. The one thing about man coverage is if that quarterback breaks and your back is turned at DB, Haynes King can go score it. That's what – it's when you get him in third and seven that he has problems with, which most guys do. But I'm going to tell you just three upsets that I have for this weekend that if you got to take some, here's what I'm taking. I like USF money line tonight. I'm telling you right now. Every time I watch Ashton Gentry run the ball for the Raiders, I feel better about this South Florida pick. Because South Florida, I'm telling you, I coach with Alex Golish. This guy's going to have him ready to play. They got some dudes running around. If Brown can run the ball effectively at quarterback, South Florida can win this football game. They're going off at plus 180. And I don't want to steal thunder from a team that you picked to make the college football playoff. But you have talked about Toledo going to Kentucky. What is that, 9.5?
I got him at 8.5.
8.5? It's at plus 260. I like Toledo. Light the freaking candle. Let's go, boys. And then sneaky.
Baylor.
Sneaky.
Baylor.
No, hell no. That's a 2.5. Coastal Carolina.
Ooh.
Coastal Carolina going on the road to Virginia. 11.5-point dog. You can get him at plus 340. I think Tony Elliott's cooked, boys. That's some ones I got kind of on the periphery. Is there any other that are sticking out to you, JD, kind of on the periphery that you're like, watch out for this upset this weekend? Cincinnati, Nebraska, where are you going tonight?
I'm rolling with the Scurs, man. Rolling with the Scurs. I like the continuity with Raiola and Holgorsen. And I think they may cover that 6.5 number, full transparency. You know, one that I don't know that I'm gonna take it because I actually feel pretty strongly about the other side, but one that kind of also gives me the heebie-jeebies, little sicko's hour special. It's late at night. Got the frozen pizza in the oven. Everyone's asleep. It's dark, but you're still watching ball. Man, Nico makes his first start for UCLA.
Yeah.
At home. Yeah. 5.5-point home dog. All off season. Nico's money hungry. Nico's this. Nico's that. Still the number one player for us here at On Three when he came out of high school. Like, who's to say we don't see him put it together his second year as a starter in college football in a Utah team that was injury riddled for sure. Not at all what we're used to seeing from a Kyle Whittingham outfit. But what if we see Nico just kind of getting his bag a little bit? I'm going to take Utah. But that's a game that I'm really curious to see how it looks, especially 10. With it being that sicko's hour. Yeah.
God, I hope Utah's back. I will
throw one out there no one's really talking about.
Say Virginia Tech.
All right.
Say it.
You won't do it.
Ball State.
Ooh, Ball State.
Versus Purdue.
Okay.
Purdue's bad.
What's the spread on that?
It's like 17.5.
Ooh, how bad is Ball State, though?
Plus 640. I'm just saying, this feels like one of those games that could get really interesting. Look. We've seen teams beat teams. I watched Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame last year.
Yeah.
So it's doable. I'm just telling you, this is a game. I'm taking Ball State plus 17.5. The money line's plus 640. All right, for a 17.5 spread, I thought that money line would be a little bit higher. So watch out for Ball State.
Hold on. I thought you were going Toledo over Kentucky because you have Toledo in the college football
playoff. I am. Well, Jake already said it.
Yeah, so you are. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I already picked Toledo to beat Kentucky. Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy.
And that one's 9.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Virginia Tech, South Carolina?
I was going to say Baylor over Auburn, but if that's
we get it,
person,
David. We get it, David. You picked Baylor.
Virginia Tech, South Carolina. Look, I have South Carolina going 9-3, so no, I've got South Carolina winning.
JD, what's your thoughts on the South Carolina-Virginia Tech game?
I mean, do we see Lenore Sellers just fly too close to the sun is my biggest question.
Icarus.
Like, we know he's the best player on the field. If he gets a little bit fumbly, like we've seen him do over the course of his career, then maybe things get to turn in. It's tough for me to see a Va Tech team that brings back two starters on offense, find a way against this South Carolina team, who I think now with Rasul Faison in the lineup, the Utah State transfer, just much more dynamic. You got more to worry about. You got more speed on the field, which is only going to help a guy like Nicholas Harbor get open on the back. Like, there's too much to worry about if I'm Va Tech, and there's too much momentum behind South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think South Carolina just like wins and covers. It's a boring answer, but I think that's how it goes.
But like, is this the best? Is it the best bet on the board? What is South Carolina 6.5? Or is it 7?
7.5.
Seven and a half now?
God, I saw 7.5, yeah.
6.5 may be the best bet on the board. I think South Carolina is going to kill them.
You know what I love this week, boys? I know this is not fun. This is not like get fired up for it, but a lot of these unders and some of these like first-time starting quarterbacks or first-time starting quarterback at a new place in gross weather, like I like the under in Texas, Ohio State at 47.5. I like the under in Miami, Notre Dame at 49.5. Like I'll sleep great at night if I go down swinging with four first year starting quarterbacks, albeit that hit the over on that total.
Utah, UCLA is another one I have.
Yeah, there's a couple we have circled that we're going to put out. But JD, man, great stuff. As usual, one of the best in the business, big dog. Tell everybody, if they don't already know, where they can find your stuff. And if you want to, where they can find you if you win the money or don't. I probably wouldn't tell them, though.
No, man. I mean, one, subscribe to this channel. That's first and foremost. But if you want to follow more of our work, the On3 YouTube channel, find me on all the social platforms at JD Pickell. But, man, always a pleasure with y'all. How good? We're back, huh?
We're back.
We're back, baby.
My body is so ready.
It can feel it.
It's so, like, I can hear the music. The spidey senses are just tingling. And you know what? At least we'll know after week one. It's always the hardest week to bet and the hardest week to project because you really don't know. But that's why we bring in guys like you, JD, to chop it up with us. Make sure you go follow him. Follow On3. They do a great job over there. And we appreciate you coming on, my dog.
Always a pleasure, boys.
All right, we appreciate you watching as well. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget, we're live streaming Auburn-Baylor Friday, Miami-Notre Dame Sunday. Come watch it with us. We'll scream and get pissed together. That's the most fun part. And like the chances, I may not be excited about watching every single game tonight.
Wait.
I don't even care if there's a fire. Oh, thank you. I'll tell you what.
You've been hiding that.
There you go, bud.
We're going. God dang it.
Get out.
Gone. It hit the light and it was the science and it's Eastern time and...